Today, as we listen to the Imam's Qira'ah in the Taraweeh, Surah Anfal and Surah Bara'ah or Tawbah, and both these surahs are Madani surahs, surahs that were revealed after the Hijrah of Rasulullah to Medina. And as you may have been, for those of you who do understand Arabic, must be getting a taste of some warfare over here. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayats is talking about the issue of jihad fi sabilillah, and the rules and regulations of battle fare is described, as well as the issues of prisoners and how to deal with them and what to do with them. It also talks about, I'm just giving you the main themes and we go in specific places. It also talks about the hypocrites, munafiqeen. And it talks about the, in Surah Anfal, it talks about the Battle of Badr, but in Surah Tawbah or Bara'ah, it also talked about the Battle of Hunayn. As you remember, that was a battle where the Muslims were deceived in the sense they thought that they are big in number, so they can overpower the enemy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah teaches us a lesson that we should not play too much into the amount of quantity. It's really quality that counts. Surah Anfal is the 8th surah in the sequence of Quran, and Surah Tawbah the 9th. And so Anfal, the word itself literally in Arabic means war booty. Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayah based, as we know from the Asbab al-Nuzul, that the Sahaba that walked by Jumain asked the Prophet after the first battle that we got this war booty, what should we do with it? So Allah revealed the first ayah there, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. They ask you, O Prophet Muhammad, about Anfal, the war booty, things that you have collected, jama' of mal, jama' of the artillery, the swords and the daggers and the spears and things, and even jewelry, because they used to bring jewelry and things like that also to the enemies, those who came from Quraysh, from Mecca. So Allah is revealing this ayah saying, yes, أَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ, they ask you about the war booty. قُلْ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah's mother is saying that tell them of Prophet Muhammad that this war booty and fair is for Allah. لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The only, this whole thing is for, not so that people can think, oh, it's for the Quraysh, I mean, it's for the people of the Quraysh who made the Hijrah, or it's for the Ansar who were in Medina, before they go into this disputes and fiasco. Allah's mother is setting the record straight. The bottom line is, yes, you worked hard, you strived, you did a battle, you won, and now this thing belongs to Allah and Rasul. And look at the first injunction that comes, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have that khashiyah. Don't get slipped in to the man, as our dear brother and one of our very beloved was saying after the Furqan, that we should not get into the lazza and the taste of mal. And this is what exactly Allah was saying, that when the Muslim army is winning and gets the war booty, they should not be mesmerized by the glittering glamour of the things that they have captured, that okay, they start thinking of it. Allah says the first injunction, فَاتَّقُوا. And then right after having fear of Allah, what does he say? وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. And reconcile and resolve your individual differences. Because this that you have captured can be a motive of destruction. This that you have captured can be an issue of problem and difficulties. Because some groups, some qabail will say, okay, we should get this. The other will say, no, we should get it. So before anything can happen, or even a spur of thought comes into the minds of people, Allah is giving a firm command that وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. And there is a lot to tie into this, brothers and sisters, even today. Not really in terms of battle and all that, but look what Allah is saying to the Muslim armies that have just won the battle, that rectify and clean your hearts, bring your hearts together, bind that bondship, that brotherhood. Don't let these few materialistic things separate your hearts. And subhanAllah, we are in the month of Ramadan, month of barakah, month of rahmah. This is the month where if there was any difference between any two individuals in the past, this is the month to come and forgive. As the first ashra is ashra of rahmah, first 10 days. We are on the threshold or the pivot of entering The second ashra, which is maghfirah, forgive. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that don't hold bad things in your heart. Don't make materialistic issues of worldly things hold back the unity of the Ummah of Islam. As sometimes it might happen that we did a business with someone, the business turned back. Now, you don't want to see that person for the rest of your life? No. Fine, we tried something, didn't work out, but we still brothers in Islam. Perhaps there was a family feud or something, now you don't want to see your cousin for the rest of your life? No. Why? When Allah's mother is asking the Muslim armies at that time to do sulh and rectification of the heart, when the glitter and glamour is right in front of their eyes, they see it, imagine what comes to our daily lives, our domestic lives, our family issues. How are we supposed to deal with that? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the surah, surah Anfal, lays down the characteristics, the features, the attractive, glittering features of believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that who are the believers? What's the definition of a believer? Do we even know what a definition of a believer is? We know what the definition of all the other terminologies in our worldly life is. But what is really different? How are we defined? Alhamdulillah, we're sitting so many of us away. How are we defined with each other? Allah raises pinpoints and says that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُ. That's what I was saying today in the khutbah, today in Jummah. That believers, Allah is defining believers with a very physical characteristic, a physical feature, something that you should see on their faces, on their bodies, in their personality. And that is what إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ, when Allah is mentioned, as Allah has been mentioned in the Quran, as Allah has been mentioned in the Tawbi Raqqa we pray, as Allah has mentioned many other sessions and gatherings. When Allah is mentioned in a ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ, what should be the return, what should be the effect, as if it's not happening on us, then we are a dead soul. Allah says, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts tremble, shake. Others cannot see your heart shaking, but you, the one who possesses your heart, can feel it inside. It's vibrating. Not the vibration that brother Duhi was talking about the phone. Many of the phones were vibrating. I was back there. And thank Allah for that advice. But why should the phone vibrate? And if you can feel sensitivity of the phone vibrating, you can certainly feel the sensitivity of the hearts vibrating. Because when hearts of believers vibrate, even mountains shake. This was the generation of the first Muslimin, the Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhum. That the Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhum, when they would make dua, when they would even recite any ayah, the mountains would begin to shake and tremble. Such was the power of magnitude. So Allah Mother is saying, then believers, get to know yourself. Who you are, what you are, what you're supposed to be. And if you don't find yourself that thing, then I think it's time to knock on the door. Not someone else knock on your door, but you yourself knock on your door. The door to your heart, the door to your soul, the door to your nafs, the door to your spirituality, the door that really asks your question, am I just living this life for the sake of eating, drinking, and wearing clothes, and having a nice time? Or am I living for a purpose? What is my purpose? إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And then the next part of the ayah is even better. It's like adding an icing on the cake. Provided it depends what kind of icing you add. And where you get it, Pathmark or ShopRite? Because I know it's been 20 rakah, so I don't want to make it too dull and boring that people start dozing off. Then we would need the icing to get the smell waking up. Allah says, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ. After the issue of zikr of Allah and the wajil of the qulub, then the hearts tremble and shake and vibrate, Allah says, and when the ayats of Allah are read to them. Now here ayats, as the Mufassirin say, have two meanings. One, ayat meaning the Quranic ayats, these ayats that you recite, whether you recite yourself from your tongue, or somebody else is reciting and you're listening to it, like on a cassette or somewhere, or if the, like here in Taraweeh, where you're listening live with behind an imam. In any case, the ayats have been recited, that's one. Second, is when the signs of Allah, ayat also means signs. Signs of Allah, Allah gives us signs. He may keep us 9 months, 10 months healthy, maybe a month he gets us sick. And then we start moaning and groaning. That is a sign. Allah is asking us something. And that is for us to reflect and ponder. Maybe we are okay all the time, we got in a car accident. You got saved, not a single scratch. But people look at the car and say, how did your person survive? Alien from Allah. Somebody got sick, terminally sick, got a cancer, went through chemotherapy and everything, came back alive, everything's fine. Alien from Allah. These are signs that Allah is giving to do what? وَزَتُنِيَتْ عَلِيْهِمْ آيَاتُمْ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. The iman increases. The purpose of these ayats of Quran to listen, and the purpose of these physical ayats, signs from Allah, is to increase our iman, like we say in the Urdu word, ziyada. Zadatum iman. And for those of us who are learning Arabic, hayda damir, any choice? Hayda damir is damir lil jam' hum, zadatum. What is the implication? Unity. Unity. Not only do they increase iman individually, but they also increase iman collectively. As the iman right now in this group, in this hall, is increasing collectively. Because every person is listening and trying to understand and digest and analyze. And then it's a collective effort. So Allah puts the barakah in unity. Joins the hearts together. Joins the qulubs together. And that is why in Surah Anfal, right here at the outset, Allah SWT is setting the record straight. Believers, you are people whose heart should shake and tremble when Allah is mentioned or any ayats of Allah is mentioned, and when the ayats of Allah are mentioned, it should also increase in iman. If you don't feel any increase in iman after listening to Quran or after reading Quran or after praying Tarawih, then there is a problem. You need to see a doctor, not the doctor's physicians, but you need to see a spiritual doctor. See the imams up. See any sheikh. See any anyone who is connected to Allah, awliya Allah, and they will tell you how there's a special way, process, to cleanse the heart, tazkiyatun nufus, and have a step-by-step process to get rid of this malaise that plagues the heart. Because if the heart is diseased, as the ayah is saying here, then there's no use of this 6 foot or 5 foot body that is just eating flesh and meat of other animals to nourish themselves. Moving further, Allah says also one of the other and the same thing, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Three things Allah outlined in this ayah in the characteristics of believers. Number one, hearts shake and tremble. Number two, it increases their iman. And number three, they rely and depend on Allah SWT. Always, always. They don't rely on other things, on materialistic and physical things. The first thing that their mind goes to is the tawakkul Allah. Depend on Allah. Inshallah, Allah will make khair. Even when there's a problem, when there's a mushkil, or masail, or an issue, or difficulty, the first thing that comes from themselves is Allah musta'an. Allah is the caretaker. Allah will take care of this. Inshallah, if Allah has given me this problem, He will also give me the solution. Because remember, the giver of the difficulty problem is also Allah, and the remover of that difficulty is also Allah. We are just in a simple process, in a mode that we have to finish in order to get out of it. We don't just break our psyche, our emotions, get sentimental and start crying or things like that and pulling hair out. No, you keep your calm, keep your resolve, and think with your aql, how can I get rid of this problem? How can I get rid of this difficulty? Fine, it is there now. Just by shouting, screaming, moaning, groaning, crying, it will not go away. Because that's not the characteristics of a believer. What the characteristic is, tawakkal Allah, rely upon Allah and adopt the system. And Allah also says, الَّذِينَ يَقُومُنَ السَّلَامُ وَمَا رَحْنَا, that they also establish prayers after the physical characteristics. Allah SWT tells us about the outward, zahiri characteristics. That yes, they establish prayer, they fulfill the prayer requirements, and they in fact, they give in the way of Allah. SubhanAllah, if you look at the Quran all over the place, wherever salah is mentioned, in fact, is mentioned. Now you know why Dr. Khadr Sahib is always asking for money. Sometimes people ask, why in the masjid, wherever I go to pray, they have to ask for money? Allah is asking this. It's not just Dr. Khadr, it's Allah is saying, whenever you establish prayer, all believers, be mindful that where you establish prayer is also the place where you have to give in the way of Allah. Because that is the place where the hearts come and be joined. That is the place where the community come and be as collected in a place. So therefore somebody will say, I have this problem, I have this difficulty. The community is plagued with this. The center needs that. The community needs that. The neighborhood needs that. So when the needs arise in the place of where the Salatul Jama'ah is there, that is also the place where you have to give in the way of Allah. And not withhold and be bakhil or stingy. That, oh, I'll think about it and give it later. No, right there and then, because then you'll see more lazza in your salah. Allah, that you will see the pleasure of salah, the khushu and khudu more when you come. Even if it means giving 50 cents or a penny. Allah doesn't weigh our man in the sense. It's the gesture that counts. But at least giving in the sense. And that's why you see, الَّذِينَ يَقُومُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيَعْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. Constant. And speaking of zakat, Zakatul Fitr is upon us right now. Why are we procrastinating? Why are we thinking, okay, just before Eid Salat, I'll go put it in the box. But how is Dar al-Salat going to disperse that amount if you're going to just give it before the Salat, before the Takbir of Eid? The Sahaba used to give right before the end of the first Ashra, it was done, so that they could go and give it to the poor and needy. So that on the day of Eid, the poor and needy have what they're supposed to have. Not that they're waiting a week or 10 days after Eid, or sometimes months, because the Muslimin were too late to give it. I would say if you haven't given it by now, the box is right there on your way out, give it. And if you forgot it today, bring it by tomorrow. Do not delay. Because remember, nobody knows when is death. Nobody knows when Mar or anyone died. Suppose if tonight is the night for someone, and they didn't give Zakat al-Fitr, fine, somebody else will give it on their behalf, but they lost an opportunity to give it with their own blessed hands. Then Allah also mentions about the issues of ratio in Surah Anfal, that if there's 200 of you, you can defeat 20,000, and if there's 100, how much? So this is showing that quality is what counts, not quantity, not how many soldiers are there in the army, but what quality of soldiers are there. And then in verse number 24, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَالْقَلْبِ. Allah سبحانه is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. What a beautiful insight. يُحْيِيكُمْ أَحْيَا, that is a word in Urdu also. Hayat, life. And what is Allah saying? Oh, you believe. Or people who have professed from their tongue that they have taken the Shahada and they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya allatheena amanu, istajibu, answer the call. Answer the call of who? Answer the call of Allah wa Rasuluh. Iza da'aku, when they call you to something that gives you life, that really nourishes you, nurtures your iman, and really makes and makes a personality out of you. Not just someone who's just living on earth, walking by and saying, I'm a human. Yes, we all are humans. But what differentiates us from other humans is this thing, Ahya, the Quran. Istajibu lillahi wa rasul is a da'akum, because the Quran was the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ brought. So Allah's mother asked the Prophet ﷺ to ask the people to come to the Quran. Come, yajma' ala Quran. Read this Quran, understand this Quran. Make an effort to at least understand some meanings, if not whole, and find out what is incumbent from me, what is obligated from me, what should I do, what should be my lifestyle. A lot of times Muslims do not take self-accountability, ihtisab, on a daily basis. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, having such complacency, such tranquility, that my life is fine. I don't need to worry about whether it's fine, or it's being under the jurisdiction of Islam or not. I don't need to worry what I'm going to tell Allah. Oh, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, He'll take care of it, He'll forgive me. Yes, Allah is Ghafoor, there's no doubt about that. La shakka fi dhalik. But Allah's mother also says, I have given you a brain to use it, and your intellect to use, to understand and see, is your life according to the codification of this book that gives you life? Is your life, mark my words, is your life according to the codification of the book that gives you life? If it is not, that means you don't have a life. Not like what they say in America, go get a life. No, it's not. It's not that kind of life. It's life of enrichment, enlightenment, life of that kind. But yes, I'm complacent that what the Quran asked me about my social family life, it's there. What the Quran asked me about my monetary values, it's there. I'm complacent what the Quran asked me about my spiritual values, it's there. I'm complacent what the Quran asked me about my education values, it's there. I'm complacent what the Quran asked me about my moral values, it's there. I'm complacent about what the Quran asked me about my modesty code of life, it's there. This is the life that this ayah is talking about. That all you believe, answer the call of the Prophet and Allah when they call you to something that gives you life, and the Quran gives you life. As if we don't implement this Quran, we are just dead souls walking on earth because the flesh is still alive. And when the Malakul Maut will come to extract the soul alive, then we finally will die. But they are dead before even being alive. And Allah SWT is saying that remember that the heart is controlled by Allah SWT. Really, the whole issue in our life is this heart. Either this heart is snatched away by the shaitan and occupies it and has a paramount effect on it to manipulate our individuality, or we give this heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Allah bi khushnudin, in the obedience of Allah, in the humility of Allah, so it's totally covered up and powered. Moving on forward, also in Surah Anfal, it talks about the issue of the mal al-ghanaim. Like we said, that the surah is all about that. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِيْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمَسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ. Remember, believers, وَعْلَمُوا, be it known, very clear, let it be manifest in your heart and mind. What? That whatever you have earned from the world booty, 1/5 of that, which is what? 20%. 1/5 of that is for who? For Allah. Wa Rasul. 1, 2. Number 3, Wazil Qurba, people who are close, Qaraba, relatives, Rishadar. Wal Yatama, the orphans. Wal Masakeen, the poor, the impoverished people. Wal Masabeen, and the people who are traveler. 6. In kuntum amantum billah, meaning this money, this wealth that has just been acquired because of a successful battle has now needs to be equally distributed. And look, whatever is taken, 1/5 goes to these 7 categories. The other 4/5 goes to the mujahideen for their work, for their effort, for their hard work that they did, for the mujahid. And the scholars say, using this ayah, that even if we can't, it's very amazing, even if we can't give 20% of our salary for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is quite comparable to other religions. We live in Tina, you know who we're talking about. From the salaries, automatic deduction from the bank account goes to the place of worship. That's why you see their places of worship so hustling, bustling, well, because they know the commandment, not the 10 commandments. But do you know the commandment that in terms of monetary wealth, it can only increase and multiply manifold if we have a certain amount deducted every month. So we're not saying that, okay, give 20% of your salary every month, but at least, if not 20%, 2%. At least 2%. Dedication. This is the devotion and commitment to not any masjid but to Allah. And then, once you commit to Allah, you will take it out. You will not have any hesitation, hitchhiker. It will be really simple, very easy. Like pulling out a hair from a bag of wheat. Very easy. But today it becomes hard. Why? Because we never practice it. We never try to understand and play and use it as a regular habit. That's why when the masjid president or any other place, someone comes and says, give in the way of Allah, it becomes humongous and huge, as if somebody has put a heavy stone on the heart. And sometimes think. But here Allah's mother is teaching us a pattern that if you make your habitual life of giving constantly monetarily to Allah, you're not giving to any masjid. Don't consider you're giving to a masjid or religion. Your commitment is first to Allah. And when the commitment to Allah is dedicated and firm, automatically will become easy. Then you'll see that in Jummah there will be no announcement. In fact, you'll start saying, because it is a part of habit. This is from the shi'ar of Islam. This is from the symbolic of Islam. It really, I feel so sorry. My heart bleeds when every masjid you go on Jummah, same old story. Please, brother. I mean, what are supposed to be doing that even? It's really demeaning. Because when you read this ayah, Allah is saying, look, Your man has a haq on it from Allah. Because who gave you that paycheck in the first place? Not Uncle Sam. When Uncle Sam comes on 15th of April, then there's no choice. We have to do it. Because now it's something else. Now we see handcuffs in our eyes. But what about the angels who are waiting every day that will this person give in the way of Allah SWT? And then in Surah Anfal, furthermore, Allah SWT tells us about the issue of unity and ittihad and ukhuwah and brotherhood, so that the unity does not go away. The essence and beauty and sweetness of unity doesn't evaporate. Look at the ayah. Allah SWT says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Obey Allah SWT and the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not differentiate. Don't argue. Don't dispute. فَتَفْشَلُوا. Then you will be failures. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Your fragrance will go away. SubhanAllah SWT. What kind of parable is this? What kind of visualization is this? Any Quranic words, when you look at it, it's a totally different mindset horizon. Allah SWT is saying that your unity has a fragrance, has a smell to it. And that will go away if there's constant bickering on petty issues and fights and disputes and things like that. Then furthermore, in the Surah, Allah SWT tells us that وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah SWT says, how does your hearts get joined and unified? Allah says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah joined our hearts together. Believers' hearts together. We come here, we pray in Salatul Jamaah, we get connected. And Allah SWT is giving us an example. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. That, oh Prophet and all Muslims, listen to this. If you spent everything, not just in your bank account in your house, or just in your neighborhood's house, if you spent everything that is in this universe to join the believers' hearts together, you would never be able to do it. It's only from the miracle of Allah. So then how do we do it, Allah? We do it through the commitment and devotion. If everybody is committed and devoted to Allah, automatically they will know the importance and value and obligation of also uniting our hearts together. Then also Allah also mentions in Surah Anfal towards the end about the issues of preparations, how should the warfare should be fought and how should the army be prepared and all those things. And then we start directly with Surah Tawbah, Bara'ah. There is no Bismillah ar-Rahim, as you know very well. It's almost, I mean, even the child knows now, but let me just refresh. It's because, as the scholars unanimously agree, in fact, Abdullah bin Mas'ud says that we used to consider these two surahs as one. So we never used to break in between, we continuing. And the other main thing that, as we know, that scholars say, is that this surah starts off with the bara'ah from Allah, because the mushrikeen, they broke the pact, akhad, contract with the Prophet and the Muslimin. So Allah SWT is talking about qital and jihad in this surah, and Allah SWT is showing in a way his dislike and upset on the mushrikeen that they broke an act, they broke a pact, and so Allah SWT is giving the ijazah, permission to the Muslimin to go ahead into the warfare with these mushrikeen. So the Tawbah also talks about the forgiveness from Allah SWT, and also talks about the basic, as you know, it's Madani Surah, so it talks about basic family issues also within the Madina society. The first Muslim community was being made over there. Talks about the masjid building, importance of a masjid. It's like a hub of a community society, attracts all things and works. And also Allah talks about in Surah Tawbah about not following the footsteps of the other nations and people who came before us, who tried to take their priests and clergymen as idols, in the sense that they would not worship them, but whatever their priests or clergymen would make halal, which was made haram by Allah, they will follow it. So that's why Allah was saying that اتخذوا أحبارهم ورحمانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا أن يعبدوا الله إلها واحد. Allah also talks about in this surah, Surah Tawbah, about Uzair and Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. That people, I mean, the Nasara took the Isa as the son of God, son of God, and the Jews took the Uzair as the son of God. So Allah SWT is talking about the issue of Trinity and issue of how this thing is against the Tawheed. Then Allah SWT also talks in Surah Tawbah about Inna Iddat Ashura and Allah Isna Ashur Shahran Fi Kitabillah Yuma Khalaqa Samaat Wal Ard Minha Arba Tuhurum. Allah SWT says that in front of Allah SWT there are 12 months, 12 lunar months, the calendar months that Allah had as 12, from it, four of them are sacred, special. And Ramadan is not one of them, that the one that's talking about here. It's Rajab, one separate, and then three continuously together. Zilqa'dah, Zilhijjah, Muharram. Those are the 4 months. Why are the special months sacred? Because qital, fighting this fi sabilillah, is prohibited, haram in those months. So it's not the issue that why is Ramadan not one of them. It's because in Ramadan, you know, in Ramadan we have battle of Badr. In Ramadan it's not forbidden to fight. Then Allah also talks about the issue of Rasulullah, what was his duty that he was sent. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. That he was sent to establish Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and erase and wipe off all the negative beliefs and things that were there over there, and bring about the change on society. Also, it talks about the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, in this surah, about their characteristics, their features, things like that. And also, the surah talks about Abu Bakr when they were doing the hijrah in the ghar of Hira. ثاني اثنين في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. When the Prophet told Abu Bakr in that cave, don't worry about it, Allah is with us, they will not get us. In this surah also, it talks about the zakat. Who are the people who are eligible to receive our zakat? إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي رقاب والغائم في سبيل الله. It's for the poor and the miskeen and the people who work to distribute the zakat, والمؤلفة قلوبهم, and those who try to strengthen and unite the hearts of people. And also talks about what is the essence of hypocrites, المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض يعملون بالمنكر وينهون المنكر. One of the features to detect the symptom of hypocrisy is that munafiqeen, hypocrites, they enjoin that which is bad, munkar, يعملون المنكر. Although it should be يعملون المعروف, but they enjoin bad, evil, and they prohibit good. So the priorities are twisted. It's opposite. It's supposed to be amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy al munkar, but they do amr bil munkar wa nahy al ma'ruf. If there's something good, don't do it. Don't. This is a symptom, a disease of the hypocrisy Allah is talking about here. And then a few ayahs later, Allah talks about the essence of believers. Wal mu'minun wal mu'minat ba'dhum awliya'u ba'd. Ya'muru bil ma'ruf wa nahy al munkar. The believers, male and female, are friends and protectors of one another. How? Are they friends and protectors of one another? They enjoin that which is good and forbid that is evil. Then Allah talks also in Surah in this surah about the Munafiqeen, addressing the Prophet ﷺ, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. Very humongous, very heavy, burdensome ayah, warning against the hypocrites amongst the believers. And look, Allah is addressing the Prophet ﷺ that if you make istighfar, if you ask Allah for forgiveness for these munafiqeen, even if you ask 70 times, Allah says, فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Allah will never ever forgive them. Even if the Prophet is asking 70 times for that istighfar, because Allah is showing his upset, his anger on these people of their treachery and their deception that they try to do. And then one more further step, Allah says, وَلَا تُصَلِّي عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدٍ وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَى قَبْرِهِ. Allah forbade his Prophet from praying janazah for these munafiqeen, nor to even stand in front of their qabr. وَأَخْرَ دَوَنَهَمْ لِلْرَبَّ الْمِينَ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ 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 وَالسَّلَامُ.